I know there are many individuals who consider the idea of living in Portugal versus living in Italy. Many individuals who are thinking about living in Italy end up deciding to move to Portugal just simply for the reasons of legalities and some of the paperwork and some of the restrictions or some of the ease of being able to get Portuguese citizenship. So even though I've done a couple of episodes talking about living in Italy versus living in Portugal, I wanted to answer in this episode a very specific question that I've received a number of times in comments, in real life. And actually, this episode is partially inspired by a short conversation I had with a Texan here in Braga. And so, hello, if you know who you are, you know who you are. So thank you for being part of the inspiration for this episode. And just before I get into the rest of this episode, a huge thanks to those of you who helped this project to be able to continue through the monthly support on Patreon, as well as the one-time thanks button here on YouTube. Anyway, let's get going into this episode and roll that intro. So of course, again, I am Rafael Di Furia, and in this episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, I think it's going to be very difficult to balance some of the ideas between where is actually the best place, because where is the best is going to be very relative, and which one do I personally like better? That is actually going to come down to neither one at the end of the day. And it's not that I don't like either place. I actually really like both places. So I'm not saying that, oh my goodness, like, yes, this place is so much better than that place, or that place is so much better than this place. The reason why I'm saying neither are better is because there are things about each place individually that stand above the other. But for those of you who are curious as to why I moved to Portugal, I know there are still some of you who are subscribed from way before when I was in Italy and maybe missed a little bit in between. And so episode 220, I'll leave a link to that down in the comment section here on YouTube. But I've come to find that I have enjoyed living here in Portugal a lot more than I thought I would. And I've come to find also that there are certain parts of the day-to-day lifestyle here that are maybe a little bit more my style and a little bit more what I'm looking for. For example, one of the biggest things that I would say is generally something you can notice pretty often is how much bureaucracy there is. It's not to say that there's not bureaucracy in Portugal, and I know a lot of Americans come here complaining about bureaucracy, but having lived in Italy before here, to me personally, it feels like there's a lot less bureaucracy that you have to deal with from day to day. Although, like I've said in other episodes, there is one little bureaucratic thing that comes up with every purchase that you make, and that's the request if you would like to have your Portuguese tax code put onto your receipt. So, yes, that one little thing adds a little extra bureaucracy, necessary or unnecessary, and you don't have to do it in each purchase that you make. But I would say in many ways, when I was in Italy, I felt like there was a lot more. But I think also when we're talking about lifestyle and what you have available to you and where you have it available to you, depending on the type of location you're in Italy, I think there is the possibility to have maybe a little bit more space around you and have more options of places to travel to. Italy is just a much larger country. I mean, that's just a fact. So to me, it feels like you have a lot more options of the different types of places that you can go to. I mean, also, even when we're talking linguistically, there's a huge variety of dialects and even languages that you can find just within the nation. And generally speaking, actually, on the linguistic note, I do personally think that maybe for an English speaker, living in Portugal is a bit more friendly than living in many parts of Italy. Yes, you can find parts of Italy where it can be very English speaker friendly. But at the same time, I think Portugal just overall is going to be easier for an English speaker. But like I've also said in so many other episodes, I don't think it's the location that, oh, if you're only looking to speak English, then yeah, you should move to either one. But easier transition in Portugal than Italy. And there are certain day-to-day things that I do miss from Italy, like some of the pastry, or even going to the stores and having certain ingredients available, or even the cost of certain things. Like sometimes I hate to admit, I would buy the Barilla pesto, like the pre-made pesto from the supermarket in Italy, but like pre-made pesto in the supermarket from Italy, I feel like at least that's on some minimum base level above other places on Earth. But every once in a while, I have just a little craving for it. I don't eat a lot of pasta, but I do happen to like that flavor from time to time. But if I want to buy the same thing here, what I maybe would spend, like, I don't know, a euro or two in Italy, here in Portugal, it's like 5.5 euros, 6 euros. I don't know. The prices that I've seen, each time I see it, I'm horrified by it, so I never end up buying the one that I used to buy in Italy. It's also, to me, really funny to see how many fewer pasta options there are here. Like, in Italy, you have the pasta aisles, and those can be huge, and it can even be multiple aisles, just filled with different types of pasta. Here, you have large sections of seafood and bacalhau, frozen seafood. There's a different focus on the kind of overall meal planning and the types of foods that make up the big parts of the diet here. I would say, generally speaking, because I do prefer a bit more protein, that I feel as though in Portugal the plates are more centered around a protein rather than a carb, where it's in Italy, like, there's so many dishes that have a rice or a pasta or a bread is kind of somewhere in the middle of the plate. And of course, not that every plate is like that, but I feel as though there's a lot more of a carb heavy diet over there. Another thing that I actually enjoy about Portugal is some of the influences that some of the former Portuguese colonies have had on Portugal itself, like whether it's the different people that you can find here or the foods that you can find here or how those different ingredients from different parts of the world have kind of had their own influence on Portuguese cuisine and even Portuguese culture. And even I've heard Portuguese teachers talking about how even Brazilian Portuguese has started influencing European Portuguese, and some things that would have previously been considered like completely incorrect in European Portuguese from Brazilian Portuguese are now starting to become quasi commonplace. And where I happen to live happens to have maybe one of the largest concentrations of Brazilians in the whole country. So I do happen to find that fun. I enjoy Brazilian culture. I enjoy Brazilian food. Don't get me started on Brazilian food. Again, if this were an episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, without at least a slight mention of food, would it really be an episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter? But it's really so much fun to be able to experience these various different things around the area that I live. In Italy, and this is not a complaint, but this is something to be aware of, that things are very Italian there. And if you want to experience Italy, that's great. And I wanted that. I was looking for that. I had that desire and that hunger for that since I was a little child. And I am so grateful for that experience. But also at the same time, I think there is something that I enjoy having grown up kind of in a more multicultural area, that having different options around is fun, and you can change up the flavors, both literally and figuratively. Not to say that that can't be done in Italy, but also in Portugal, of course, you're going to find places that are very just solely Portuguese. Nothing wrong with that either. But also at the same time, I won't say that if you're used to maybe Asian foods or certain quote-unquote ethnic foods, that maybe neither option are going to be the most ideal. But you'll at least have some interesting options, I think, available to you depending on where you are, if you live in a large enough of an area. One other factor that I think is really important, though, to take into consideration is how open the local population can be towards outsiders. I've found in both countries that people can be very welcoming. And I've found also that there are some people who just aren't interested in people from abroad coming to their country. But I can say, overall, that I do feel as a generalization that maybe in Portugal that there is a bit more openness towards outsiders coming here, and depends also on what part of the country you're in. If you're maybe down south in the Algarve, then maybe, okay, it's a little bit different there and people might have certain feelings towards certain nationalities, maybe primarily British. That's a different story for a different day, though. But it's always funny to me how in Portugal, I so often have the interaction, like, because my Portuguese is far from perfect, but I have had so many people, even on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, say, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't speak English. I'm like, no, I'm in your country. Portuguese is important here. English is not important here. Like, I can speak enough to get by. And they're like, I'm saying, oh, I'm so sorry for my bad Portuguese. Like, no, I'm so sorry, I don't speak English. That to me is it's so different from my experience that I've had in Italy as well, where even on the phone with a certain large online retailer that is known for carrying everything from A to Z, wink wink, nudge nudge, I had a particular instance on the telephone where I was with their customer service and I was almost shouted at that siamo in Italia, parliamo italiano. And the guy, funny enough, wasn't actually even Italian at the end of the day. He was Egyptian. But it was also, I've had people have that same sentiment in person as well. It's definitely very different. And actually, even just from a practical standpoint, there's going to be times where you have to make phone calls to banks or internet companies or gas companies, electricity companies, whatever it may be. Very often in Portugal, I would say more often than not, when you're calling a customer service line, you'll have like press 1 for English or press 9 for English or press 3 for English. Like, you'll have an option for an English speaking healthcare line. Even the National Healthcare Service here in Portugal does have an English speaking option, not only for medical needs, but also for mental health needs. That's, I think, something actually really, really amazing that these things are available in multiple languages. Not saying that it's going to be fast service, but the options there still regardless. Whereas when you go to Italy, you definitely need to have a lot of Italian under your belt. If you have somebody there helping you and that can kind of help you from one situation to the next, and if you don't speak Italian, like someone, a facilitator, that can definitely help you. And it's definitely a country, in my opinion, where having the local language is very, very necessary. Portugal, you may find instances where you can have a bit more luck getting away with not having the language here for those day-to-day needs, but it's still, I would say, personally, quite necessary. If we're talking about languages and learning languages, I've heard a lot of people say that they prefer learning Italian. I personally think that Portuguese for me is a bit easier. I know a lot of people don't feel that same way. For whatever reason, my mind just clicks with Portuguese a little bit easier than it does with Italian. And it has nothing to do with the languages I was raised with. I was raised speaking English only. I only started learning Portuguese as an adult, just as with Italian. So I maybe started learning both languages kind of not the same time, but within a couple of years of each other. So I do sometimes feel a little bit more comfortable for conversation in Portuguese. Also, it's been a bit of time since I've spoken Italian, so I'm getting rusty and my Italian is definitely getting worse, because even when I lived in Italy, the first location I lived in had a majority German speaking population. The second location was a majority dialect speaking population. And then even there, the amount of Italian that I needed from a day-to-day basis, just based on work and various other factors, wasn't a huge amount to begin with. So, is it possible to live in Italy without a huge amount of Italian? Yes, but you definitely, definitely need it if you are needing to take care of things. But what about when it comes to cost of living? That's another factor that I think for many people is a major consideration when they are looking at these places. And overall, I mean, in some ways I can say that Italy feels more expensive, and there's other ways that I can say Portugal feels more expensive. I think maybe the cost of living has definitely risen quickly in Portugal, and maybe at least for apartments and homes and such, the costs feel like they've jumped up and risen at maybe a much higher rate than maybe they did in Italy. But it doesn't mean that the prices haven't gone higher in Italy as well. But I'd say when it comes to day-to-day things, for kind of general things, when we're talking about like food that's made locally, whether it's bread or vegetables or this or that or the other, there might not be the biggest difference between the two countries, but maybe a little bit less in Portugal. If we're talking about like costs of apartments, then Italy might have a little bit of an upper hand there. But if we're talking about the cost of maybe utilities, I would say generally speaking, like between gas and electricity, it seems to me like it's less here in Portugal. But if we're talking about phone, internet, TV, maybe it's a bit more expensive in Portugal than it would be in Italy. Like, each one kind of has their own way that's a little bit more than the other. So at the end of the day, depending on the type of city that you're in and maybe how expensive, kind of how big of a city you're in or versus how small of a village that you could be in, the prices can actually be maybe pretty close if you take the time to look at it and compare, not apples to apples, but if you start comparing things within a rough generalized area. But I can say, though, that I do feel as though that my money goes further here in some ways. I mean, for example, even going out to eat with friends or going to a cafe feels so much less here in Portugal than it did in Italy. Like, for some things in Italy, I would say, like, maybe to go out for a meal with friends at times felt like it was double. But it's not to say that every meal in either country would be cheap or would be expensive. You have a whole wide array of different levels of restaurants available to you. Kind of like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, another thing that a lot of people are concerned about is the legality of being able to live there, requirements for citizenship, and this and that and the other. looking at things like super like black and white, it's clear that to get citizenship in Portugal is faster and almost seemingly easier than it is in Italy. But it's not to say that it's impossible in Italy. It's definitely doable. It just takes a lot longer for the minimum residency requirement. But one of the biggest problems right now in Portugal is that the kind of offices in charge of everything have been experiencing this kind of flux that they've been in for the past couple of years at least. They're supposed to be changing hands to a different group within the government, or they're going to reform, or they're going to this, or they're going to that. So things have kind of been going back and forth. And I know a lot of people here in Portugal do have frustration, I'll put it that way, when it comes to dealing with the national service, the national border service and immigration here in Portugal. But it's not to say that that doesn't exist in Italy, because there are factors within Italy that also can be very complicated to deal with if you have to deal with immigration. This is one of the reasons why I always say that if you have the possibility to get citizenship by descent, whether it's Italy, Poland, Ireland, any country within the EU, and you're looking at living in the EU, that can make your life a lot easier. So I'm living here in Portugal as an Italian, so I've dealt with a different office than Americans moving here would have to deal with through the whole immigration and visas and all of that, because as an Italian citizen, there's no visa available for me. So if you're maybe in a similar position that I am, that you have the ability to get Italian citizenship by descent, there are going to be certain ways that actually moving to Portugal, even as an Italian citizen, can be a little bit less complicated than moving to Italy as an Italian citizen. Like talking about residency checks, for example, there's an extra step in there that is not required here in Portugal that's required in Italy. Like they actually will come to your apartment at some random time to check to see if you're living there or whatever in Italy. But in Portugal, this doesn't happen. You just go and you register. So again, getting back to what I said at the beginning of this episode, there are things that I like about both countries. Do I like one more than the other? Hard to say that. Do I feel as though maybe that there's one country that at this point in my life is maybe a little bit more in line with where I personally am and what I need and what I'm looking for? That might end up being Portugal to an extent. I mean, I have to say, actually, since moving here to Portugal, I've gotten used to some of the ride-sharing apps, which aren't available in Italy. Maybe, I'm not sure if they're even legal in Italy. I know definitely as small of a place that I lived in, the last couple of places I lived in, that they just, even if they had them legal and available to use, there wouldn't be many drivers around. So that's one thing that has definitely added some convenience to my life that has really definitely helped in many instances. I know there were times in Italy that I just simply wouldn't go to a place because I didn't want to pick up the phone to call a taxi to get there, because I don't drive. I'm not interested in driving. I don't want to have a car. Not that I wouldn't. It's just, I don't feel it's necessary, and the price to own a car and the insurance and everything like that, just, I wouldn't use a car enough to get the full value out of it. That's really what it comes down to. So even like my first year here, I forget exactly what the figure was, but my total transportation costs, even between just here in Braga with Ubers, Bolts, bus rides, and even a few back and forth train rides to Porto and even the metro there, I think it was maybe like 250, 300 euros my first year here. And I would say this year, probably kind of somewhat in a similar range. So definitely overall much less than what I would be spending if I had a car. So there are certain things in Portugal that can be a little bit more convenient at times. But again, it depends on where you are, what kind of city you're in, and what you have available to you. Because depending on how large or how small of a town or village or city that you're in, that can also define your experience. So this is where I'm going to round off this episode. And again, thank you to those of you who helped make these episodes through patreon.com/RafaelDiFuria on a monthly basis, or RafaelDiFuria.com/Patreon, as well as the one-time donations that help this project keep going, such as the thanks button here on YouTube. Of course, again, I'm Rafael Di Furia. Stay safe and healthy out there, and I will see you all next time for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Later.